had left Cass and I. Cass was just a baby, and moved in with someone else. I became paralyzed. I met this gal, and she came into my life more or less like a bulldozer. I did the dumbest thing you can possibly do right away. I hid my kid. I didn't want to lose this beautiful person, all because I had a year, maybe 14 months old at that point in time, after her mother had left and taken our only car. I was teaching at Purdue across the river. And I only had a bicycle, so I had to bike over to teach every morning across Lafayette. Well, I needed to do something with the short person who lived with me. And so I bought a bicycle seat, and I mounted on the back of my bicycle, and she would ride back there over to daycare, which is just two blocks from where I taught. But then winter came, and it started to get cold and rainy and snow everywhere, and I had to figure that one out. So I happened to be at the grocery store, so I bought a big roll of Saran wrap. Desperation. So I would wrap her up in her coat and Saran wrap. I left a little hole for breathing. And she seemed to think that was the most exciting thing of the day. Of course, Miss Ellen, when I dropped her at the daycare center, going, "What are you doing to your child?" Well, let me explain. Dating, something I wanted to do right away, and all of a sudden, into my life walked this wonderful, tall, blonde lady. And then it hit me. What do I do with my daughter? Well, hide her, of course. So I would take a chance here. And I would sequester her in lots of different ways. And I had invited this gal over to have dinner with me. And the first time she came, I cooked lasagna. And we went into the living room afterwards, and I sat on the sofa, and she sat down on the sofa next to me, and we started talking, and eventually she said, "I got to use your bathroom." I showed her where the bathroom was, and she tells me that when she came out of the bathroom, I was dead asleep. She left. It took me 4 or 5 weeks to build up the courage to say, "Can we try this again?" I'll do spaghetti this time. Not knowing that those are heavy foods and they force you into sleep mode. Not a cook. But I learned to cook pretty fast because I had this little squirt, Cassandra, anchored to my kneecaps. The second time she came for dinner, again, she wanted to go to the bathroom. I fell asleep again, of course. I was doing lots of jobs. I was catching up. I'd been in the military for 3 years there, and I had things I needed to do. I needed to get busy and make things and make things happen in the community. Little did I know I was destroying a child and a potential girlfriend at the same time. And I was asleep, and she left again. It took me weeks to call her back and say, "You got to give me another chance. I think I really like you, and I promise I won't fall asleep again ever in your presence." She said, "Fine, buddy. you're going to prepare a basket of food for three of us. Me, whoever that mystery person is, and you. By the way, I took a look the second time. I walked down the hallway and I opened up the door to the end of the hallway and I saw toys all over the floor, dolls. And are you weird? Okay, I have a little short daughter who's a year and a half old. I hope that you will prepare a picnic basket. You're going to pick me up at 8 o'clock on Saturday morning. You're taking me, there was a public state park 20 miles away where we went to that had a rolling river that was rolled down through limestone. And we're going to party. And you're taking the two of us. You pick me up at 8 o'clock. And I'm meeting this other person. Do you understand? So that's Valerie. Okay. We eventually found church, which was glorious. And we almost took over the church. It was so much fun. We felt everyone was moving too slowly. So we speeded it up a little bit. Teaching Sunday school and all those things. So the person you're going to meet here is, she's a wild and crazy woman, totally in love with the Lord. This is an opportunity for her, inasmuch as I had just taken a bunch of pastors to Haiti for the first time. And in that, one of the pastors was the fellow that invited Val to this particular little church that I was doing an addition on, designing an addition. A great guy.
All right.
We might want to have a few lights on. We don't want to fall asleep here on this one. I don't think we will.
I've heard it. Do you want to mention
what cancer?
The cancer. She was having cancer at this point.
Oh,
she talked about that.
She talks.
You're going to spoil it, Ren.
Well, Val's going to come up and share with us. She's going to share her testimony. She's going to share with us some songs. Val's got just an absolutely gorgeous voice. She sang with us in our praise team, and just Val has a heart for the Lord. And she loves Jesus, and she's going to share us with that. She didn't like the green mic when she practiced Wednesday, so we had to make sure we gave her.
Year.
Like that?
That's great.
Is that better?
Yeah. Yeah, the eyes are getting older.
I know.
Well, everything is, but. Well, let's see how the sound does. Rick tried to pin something on me today. He's like, you have to put this on. I'm like, I thought Greg already had the mic thing going. So we don't have too much. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. You know, I was excited. There's Greg, and we were downstairs, and I was tuning my guitar, and I'm like, I know that guy, but from where? And he came over, and he said, hi, Val. I said, okay, from where is it? The Fireplace Center. Well, you know, when you see people in business, and you don't see them in church, and if I know you, and I don't say hi, please say hi to me. When you have cancer, you get that chemo brain thing going, and I'm going to suck it for all it's worth. There'll just be times when you can't remember anything. So if you know me and you come up and say, hi, Val, and I have that really blank look, just forgive me and go on. Or introduce yourself even better. Jim helped me organize my thoughts last night, and I have a whole bunch of paper up here, so as I move it by, that's because I have a tendency to go in about 25 directions and never come right back where I was supposed to be. So I'm going to do my best this morning to make sense out of what the Lord, I think I can share. But let's pray first. Father, what I do know is that there's no one like you. You are so much bigger than we can imagine. Help us. Help us to see you for who you are, and help us to open our hearts and minds to receive all that you have for us. May the words of our mouth and the meditations of our hearts today be pleasing in your sight, Father. We give the praise and the thanks and the glory. We bless you today. May your perfect and holy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in us, and in all those that you put in our path. In the name of Jesus. Okay. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways. And step by step, you lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. Do we not want that to be the prayer of our hearts? I started out as a child. How many other people started out as a child? Okay, there we go. For those of you who haven't figured it out yet, my name is Valerie, and this is my really tall, bald husband in the front. And eventually, when I got cancer, they told me I'd lose my hair, and my hair was really long. So if you've ever known me before, and you see me now, Greg said, oh, I didn't recognize you with short hair. I didn't even recognize myself with short hair. But when I thought I was going to lose it, we cut it off. I said, look, don't worry, honey. You've lost all of yours. If I lose all mine, we'll paint our heads and we'll be twins. I grew up, I'm 54 now. I grew up with, Nellie Bell and Roy Rogers and Trigger and Buttermilk and Dale Evans and Rin Tin Tin and Velveeta cheese was invented. TV screens this big. The stereo was the music. We had the record player, no CDs, no TVs, no none of that stuff. How many of you remember all that? Okie dokie, there we go. Okay, Mickey Mouse hour, Walt Disney hour, we'd sit and watch popcorn. It was kind of the family hour on Sunday night. We didn't really have much Jesus in our household. My dad was an atheist at that time, especially in my growing up years. He's now an agnostic, or thinks he knows where he's going, but he is one of those people that thinks he's got the answers and he has none of them. And he uses the Bible. And I expect that someday, I hope that before the Lord takes him home, he'll save him. Well, my mom was a believer, and she did her best in an atheist household to get us to church coming and going, and she was saved, but she had no idea how to tell us about Jesus, how to present the gospel. So I grew up with some church things, but all I had was information. I didn't have Jesus as Savior. But we had a lot of music around the house, and we had things like, how many of you ever had a tonette? A tonette? Oh, let me see. Oh, there. Okay. A tonette is a home perm. This is one of these things that was invented when I was a kid. And, you know, the mom would sit you in the chair and curl the curlers and put the awful stinky stuff on your head, and you'd be done. And she'd say, but you'll look like Shirley Temple when we're done. Oh, my goodness. What's that all about? And there was a little girl on TV. I was like, my mommy gave me a tonette. Okay. I got out of the curly stage early and grew the hair long and left it, little knowing that a few months ago I would be back to the I have a tonette era, and spent, you know, I don't know how many dollars trying to get a curling iron. I burned my hair. I burned my hands. I burned my head. I don't do really well with the curling iron still thing today, but I love hairspray. So eventually, I met Jesus. I met Jim. We lived together. We moved down here. We've been here 29 years. We live on County Line Road. And I was in my yard when I met him. I am living proof that God doesn't care where you are or who you are, but if somebody has prayed for you, he's going to keep working and working and working and trying to present himself to you until maybe one day you get so tired you think, oh God, if you're out there, who are you? And so I met him in my yard, and I met some people who said, you know, you should read the Bible. They didn't tell me anything about it. They just said, get started in John. So I did. I just started reading, and sure enough, the Holy Spirit started to help me understand. And I thought, I got to that part where it says, you're a teachable people. And I thought, thank God, teachable's good. I don't understand any of this. And then it said, you have the mind of Christ. Even better. Okay. Little knowing how long it would take for me to start reading the Bible, start to understand how does God work and think, and now he's got to change all that garbage that was inside. But he does it. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I'm going to just share a few things today the way he has taught me. I don't know if it'll make a lot of sense, but it makes sense to me. He said, thy word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Now, I'm only quoting you the half a dozen verses I own that I know. But when it's in there, he can use it. When it's in there, he can magnify it, and he takes it in the strangest places. How many of you ever woke up and you have a song in your heart? Or you're in trouble and he brings a song to your mind. The Holy Spirit is always working. The Bible says that Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us. When I found out Jesus was praying for me all the time, I'm like, hallelujah. Somebody's on it 24/7. And I loved all that stuff. I started reading, you know, and all the cool stuff that we love, you know, Jonah and the whale and walking on the water and water into wine. But my favorite part when I knew I was really going to be okay with this is when I found out the donkey talked. I'm like, if he can have a donkey talk, I'm in. I love that. Now, recently, in our household, James makes the coffee. It's so nice. I get up. I love late, and I love late at night, so this is early for me. My friends will tell you that. So Jim gets up, and he makes the coffee, and it kind of wafts upstairs. And recently, I found that that is in the Bible. Did you know that? How many of you knew that the husband brewing the coffee was in the Bible? Well, I'm going to tell you. You just get it open, get your Bible open, flip back there to the little book of Philemon, who hardly knows anybody, and you turn the next page and it says, he brews. Okay. All right. Thank you. Now we're done with that. I love it. There, see, you can keep that one. It's not mine. All right. So when I met Jesus, I found out some really cool stuff. I discovered that I am my beloved's and he is mine. His banner over me is love. And then I found out that in him we live and move and have our being. In him we live and move and have our being. And then he taught me, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You thought I was going to go on, didn't you? So that we could enter his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. We can enter his courts with praise. We can say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. In Galatians 2:20, one of the top 10 verses for me to ever memorize is, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. He started to lead me through the word, and I read in the garden where Jesus is wrestling with the events to come and what his Father is asking him to go through. And in Mark 13:36, he cries out, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. And I thought about that, the fact that Jesus, at the pivotal moment in all of history, the Old Testament leading up to it and pointing towards it, and the New Testament leading back to it, that even Jesus wrestled with his Father's will. Even Jesus, he could have gone over the hill. He could have said, no, I'm not doing this. They're not worth it. But in the end, he said, they are worth it. And this is the plan we've had from the beginning, and I'm going to pursue it and finish the course. Because for the joy set before him, he chose us. And the Lord started to challenge me, Valerie, when he said, pick up your cross and follow me. He's talking about you going up and being crucified with Christ so that you can say like Jesus, not my will, Father, but yours be done. It's a teaching thing, isn't it? It's a daily thing, a daily decision for us to decide, not my will, but his be done. I love the story in John 6 where Jesus is teaching. You remember all the thousands are following him, even to the detriment of their bodies, and they're hungry and they're thirsty. And I love all the fish and loaves stories, but there was one point where he was teaching hard things. And a lot of disciples turned away and they left him. And he turned to Pete and the boys, and he said, you're not leaving me too, are you? Does anybody remember what they said? He said, Peter said, Lord, where else are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. There's nowhere else to go. Even though they had not received the Holy Spirit, they still knew everything he was saying was satisfying them, was hungry, was feeding their hungry. I mean, who else is there 24/7? Don't you love the cell phone? I'm convinced Pete and the boys would have really loved that. Talk to Paul. How you doing over there? Oh, getting ready to go to Macedonia. Oh, wait, not really. 24/7, 1-800-DIAL-GOD. Now, I wrote this out so I could get it because I thought it was funny. No putting me on hold. No, sorry, you've reached the wrong number. No, this number has been connected. No, the parting you are trying to reach is not available at this time. Please leave a message and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Nope. God is always listening. He's ever ready. He's all-knowing. He's got the whole thing happening for us. The question is, are we going to call him? I don't call him all the time. I can tell you, I've listened to all that stuff about you should journal. I don't journal. So if you're out there and you're feeling really condemned because you don't get to do all that stuff or it just doesn't happen for you, I'm here to say that Jesus has come to set us free. Find out how you can learn the Word. Find out how you can learn to love the Bible. Find it out from Him. Because you're each unique, special, individual, counts the hairs on our head. Well, sorry, honey. Although He's got a few now. He's in control. Jesus is Lord. We can ask Him to be actively Lord in our lives or not. And that's what free will is. He taught me there's no other one who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That he's answering before I ask, that he's ever working, that he's the only one who can do Romans 8:28. I wanted a license plate with that, but somebody already has it. Who knows what Romans 8:28 is? We all do. It's the part where he says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. There's no other one but the Lord who can hold up that promise to me. I'm his daughter. And he says in Romans 8:38-39, neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities or things past or to come or the powers or height or depth, nothing created can separate us from the love of God. Isn't that amazing? Nothing can separate us from his love. No one loves me like Jesus does. I'm really glad about that because a lot of people love me, but not everything. Aren't you glad that there's one who loves us for everything we are and in every place we are? Nobody else did what Isaiah 49:16 says. Behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Those beautiful, exquisite, nail-scarred hands. All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befalls me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befalls me, Jesus doeth all things well. Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. And in VBS we go, woo! Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thine outstretched arm. And nothing's too difficult for thee, nothing's too difficult for thee. Oh, great and mighty God, great in counsel and mighty indeed. Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing is too difficult for thee. And then we always repeat it. Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing is too difficult for thee. Now you remember, he's still teaching me. Still getting us ready. I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord, with a heart of thanksgiving. I will bless thee, O Lord. God is preparing us, always preparing us, is he not? Getting us ready for what he may or may not ask us to walk in. He's always getting us ready, drawing us closer, inviting us to come closer. About 2 weeks ago, I have no idea, I asked Jim how Rick found out that Jim was an illustrator. He hasn't done illustration for at least 8 or 9 or 10 years. So I called over to James at his office, and he said, well, Rick Amerine's over here. Well, they had gone to Haiti together before, and I'm like, oh, how is he doing? And I was driving out the driveway, and Rick and James came out of the building, and Rick said, you know, we've been praying for you. And I said, I want to thank you all. Please give your regards to my congregation, and we do. I want to thank you all for your humble prayers on our behalf, for your intercessions on our behalf. And I want to tell you how, and I'm going to proceed and tell you how Jesus worked in those prayers. I want you to know that when he says, my word goes out, it is not returned void. When we are praying his perfect and holy will, he works to perform it. Even if I die and I'm praying for my dad to be saved, he's still going to be working because I asked him for his perfect and holy will, and that was that my dad will be saved until the very minute that my dad dies. Isn't that amazing? His words are eternal. When we pray his will, it works and works, and he works and he works. So here came Rick, and the next thing I know, we got this email that says, can you come over and give a testimony? Sure. Says, oh, and by the way, we left the whole sermon time. Boy, that's startling. Never had that happen. I want to thank you. I'm humbled and honored that he would entrust the Lord to give me something that I could bring, that we all might grow closer to him this morning. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't even pretend to understand all the power that's in the blood of Jesus, but I do know one thing. Because we have the mind of Christ, and because God the Holy Spirit lives in us, if we want to know and we ask him, Lord, I need to know more, what does that really mean, then he'll teach us. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. You want to sing? Power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory to win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood, in the blood. Of the Lamb, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. In the spring of 2007, I was sitting in my usual seat. How many of you have your usual seats? Yeah, I know you do, even if you don't raise your hands. Second row back from the front, third from the left. Sort of behind the post where the preacher can't get really good eye contact with me. Steve Western is our pastor over at ECC, and he announced he was going to be preaching through the book of James. So that Sunday, he started James 1, 1 through 4. Now, he just stopped short of one of our needy verses, that is, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally and scoldeth not. So you got some of that King James things in there, you know, O Lordeth, we blesseth youeth. Jim reads the King James. I can't. He thinks it's the only word. I'm sure God has another idea. But he got to the point, he's saying, okay, he's reading the scripture. Consider it all joy, my brother, when you encounter various trials, okay, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. I can't really tell you what the takeaway was that day for the congregation, because I didn't hear it. The question I heard the Lord ask me was, and I quote, where is it? Somewhere there. I should know it, shouldn't I? By heart. Will you let me allow circumstances into your life that will expedite answered prayer and change you and those around you? Yeah. Let me read that again. Will you let me allow circumstances into your life that will expedite answered prayer and change you and those around you? I heard him. My answer was no. you're scary. And I walked out. Not usually my habit to say no, but I knew what he was asking. I didn't know what it would entail. I just knew. No, the answer's no. I knew he'd find me later, but right then, no. So I left the building. 3 weeks later, I'm sitting in the front of the Ellettsville post office. I could tell you what I'm wearing. I could tell you what the temperature was outside. But I definitely knew things weren't right. You ever get that? Okay, things aren't going well. So I called my friend, a friend of mine, and said, I really need prayer. And she started chuckling and quoted me word for word. He wants to know if you will let circumstances, you'll allow him to allow circumstances into your life that will expedite answered prayer and change you and those around you. Oh, that's funny, Father. Really funny. He is very persistent and very specific. If we have ever once said, I really want your will in my life, then it's that love that will not let us go. And out loud I said, Lord, I still cannot wholeheartedly say yes, but I'm going to say what George, who's like a million years old, and he was a million when I met him at camp a billion years ago. George taught us to say, when we couldn't say, your perfect and holy will be done on earth, Father, I'm willing to be made willing. Lord, I'm willing to be made willing. So I have started to submit my will to him. And from there to not my will, but yours be done is a very short period of time. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways. And he will make your path straight, your path straight. He will make your path straight. I will trust in you, Father. So we finished our prayer and I never gave it another thought. Really, I just, okay, we're done. I had peace. We moved on. The last week of July, I had an emergency appointment with my doctor, because I started swelling up in my abdomen and I noticed there was some pain. And so after one test, she wheeled back with a deer in the headlights look and said, you have ovarian cancer, you need surgery now. My girls are on the phone to a surgeon in Indianapolis. Wow. I immediately knew what he was then asking me way back in the spring, permission. Said that God allow circumstances into our lives so that he can be seen, so that he can draw us closer to himself. So I had peace sitting there, and the next thing I know, the little nurse rolled in, and she was really cute and quiet, and you know, we all have to be really careful in our professions about how we talk about Jesus. And she said, well, you know that you're not alone in this. She's drawing the blood. I thought, oh, she's a believer, Father. Let's just see how she does this. I knew she wanted to talk to me about Jesus, but you have to be very careful. I said, really? Well, yes. And you could see she was thinking about how to tell me about Jesus. She said, well, there is one who loves you. And she just got so uncomfortable. I said, are you talking about Jesus? She said, yes. We spent the next few minutes talking, and she cried, and we prayed, and it was very sweet. And he reminded me, I'm right there in the middle with you. I know what's happening. I will never leave you or forsake you, Valerie. All I could think of was, Lord, don't let us fail the test. And give us the strength to praise you and thank you in the middle of it, wherever it leads us. So 1 week later, Jim and I sat in the surgeon's office up at St. Vincent's, at the oncology center up there. Ironically, I had been at that hospital about 6 weeks prior because one of my friends had had surgery. And I had met those nurses on that ward, and I'd sat in that room with her, and they looked at me and said, what are you doing here? I said, hey, I'm the patient. Check out the gown. And that was just so weird that he'd already gotten me ready, and I knew the rooms on that floor, and so there we were. Well, but just prior to that, sitting in the surgeon's office, he said, yep, you have stage 3C ovarian cancer, maybe more, depending on how much we find when we're in surgery, and it's going to be pretty massive, and then you'll have chemotherapy, and then we'll see how it goes. And they don't tell you too much more than that, which was okay with me. They didn't give us a lot of scenarios. They just said, this is what we're going to do right now. He said, the big question for you is when? I said, hey, I have my pillow, my blankets, my husband's blankets. We're all in the car. We're going up there. I'm going over to St. Vincent's, and I'll just wait for you because I am not going back home, because by then I had swelled up like I was 4 months pregnant. And having never been pregnant, I only got that from my friends who said, you really look 4 months pregnant. Okay. So we got over to the hospital. He said, oh, well, God must be in this for you. Now, prior to this, there are nothing's in his office to indicate the presence of God or a relationship with Jesus. It wasn't until right then he said, well, God must be in this for you because my Wednesday 8 o'clock just got canceled. So you go on over there and get ready, and I'll see you at 8 o'clock, and we'll have surgery. Jesus is Lord. So over we went. We got all ready. After 10 days in the hospital, 4 months of chemo and recovery, it was plain that Jesus was Lord. Family and friends came. They did laundry. They cooked. They scheduled. They prayed. They brought brownies. They came from all over the place. People we knew, people we didn't know. Our clients, many of whom are not believers, they called. They sent chocolate. Oh, the drag was I couldn't eat it, so everybody else got all the Ghirardelli chocolates, or, you know, those gold boxes, Godivas. Oh, I had 3 boxes. Could I eat any of them? No. Everybody else did, though. The people who sent emails came. It came from around the world. Friends of ours who were missionaries or were associated with missions put out an email for us, and Methodists and Lutherans and Catholics and Pentecostals and Seventh-day Adventists. They prayed, and they came, and they sent cards, and you prayed, and you prayed, and you prayed. One day, a friend emailed me and said she had seen me in a dream, that I was standing, she didn't say I had long hair, so I don't know about that part, but she said I was standing in front of her, and I let her know that I would be fine. Well, she couldn't interpret for me, did that mean I would be healed in this earthly body, or would I be healed and go home and see Jesus? But that was a comfort to me. That whatever was happening, I would be fine. He still does today what he did then, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in him, there is no fear. No fear of the unknown, because he's all powerful. I fell asleep at night with my headphones on. I'm glad I live in the era of CDs, CD players. So I have every night fall asleep, understanding that God inhabits the praises of his people, so I would fall asleep listening to praise CDs, and he would minister to me through the night. Somebody will have to watch the time, too. I don't know where we are.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others you are calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble while on others you are calling, do not pass me by.
He led me to the book of Job and reminded me that the enemy has permission from him to act in our lives. But that permission is very specific, because we are each unique and individual. We are special in his eyes. And he's an exacting God, attentive to every detail in us and in our life. If only we are willing. Let's see, I already talked about some of that, and I knew that he had a plan. I just didn't want to miss the plan. I don't want to miss his plan, do you? In Jeremiah 29:11, he writes, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for welfare and not destruction, to give you a future and a hope." So in December, after all the chemo and the rest, we went to see the surgeon. After 2 hours of hard work with other women on either side of us, he came in late and said, Merry Christmas. Your tumor marker has dropped from 8,000, which is a high indicator that there's cancer in your body, to 10. You've had your own miracle. Go home and I'll see you in 3 months. In fact, I'll see you every 3 months for the next 5 years. What crossed my mind is, we bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, and we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. In March this year, we went for our checkup, and I couldn't help but ask him, just how big is that miracle? Now, I personally knew it was a big miracle for us, that I'm going to live here a while longer and he's not ready for me yet, which was kind of disappointing. But on the other hand, I asked him and he said, well, I'm here to tell you that there are about 100 of us in all the United States that treat ovarian cancer as war and address it as aggressively as we do. And if you had been anywhere else, your lead time would have been about 6 months. Was Jesus Lord in directing the steps, the doctors, the treatments? You bet. I don't have all the answers, and I can't tell you why we have other friends who have suffered terribly from cancer and died, and Jesus took them home after long illness. I don't know why right now I'm standing before you to give a testimony. I just know that he does what he wills, and we aren't always going to understand his will, but we will never escape the fact that he loves us, that he's alive, that he's the same yesterday and forever. Y'all are talking about a new building and going out into the world. There are 2.5 billion individuals right now in the world who don't know Jesus. 2.5 billion. So my prayer for us all is that we get busy and that we get about our Father's business, wherever that leads us and wherever he decides to take us. Let's go. The weight of this world crashes down on you, God will listen to you. When the sky turns black and your thoughts turn blue, he will listen to you. He will listen to you, always listen to you. He understands how his children feel, God will listen to you. When the river of tears cannot be contained, God will listen to you. You're like a drowning man in the pouring rain. He will listen to you. He will listen to you. Always listen to you. He understands how his children feel. God will listen to you. When the light explodes in a world gone wrong, God will listen to you. And when your heart beats strong with a grateful song, he will listen to you. He will listen to you. Always listen to you. He understands how his children feel. God will listen to you. He understands how his children feel. He will listen to you. And then maybe we can all sing together. Oh, the blood of Jesus.
Jesus, oh, the blood of Jesus, oh, the blood of Jesus, it washes white as snow.
Let's do that again.
Oh, the blood of Jesus, oh, the blood of Jesus, oh, the blood of Jesus, it washes white as snow. One day Jesus will call my name. As the days go by, I hope it don't stay the same. I wanna get so close to him, there's no big change. On that day when Jesus calls my name.
God bless you all. And remember that it is his name that is above all names. And when we call on his name, he is here to answer.